Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Lord, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet. It's a light upon our path. We thank you, God, that the entrance of your word brings light. And we pray today that, Holy Spirit, you'd come upon me and help me to be able to communicate that which you put within my heart today. And I pray, God, come on, just lay hands on your own heart today. Lord, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you're saying in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated. First of all, I'd like to give a shout out to all of our church in Kotzebue in faith and Point Hope today. We're so glad you're online. We love you. Mwah. Pastor Daniel sends his love again, like I mentioned earlier. And So we're doing, like I said, the last sermon in the ripple effect. And it's about how, you know, that it's called skipping stones, right? When you skip a stone across water or you drop a rock in water, it causes a rippling out, a ripple effect that just moves in on and on and on. And that he's talked about last week, the waves of increase and how the lives of people like you and me can affect so many, can affect the world around us and cause a ripple effect and a movement. Amen? And you can do that for good and you can do that for evil. And of course, we're talking about moving the kingdom of God forward. And so a familiar verse of scripture that we're talking about today is, of course, what's called the Great Commission, right? Jesus is about to ascend and he gives these last words to the church and to his people. And he says, you know, go and make disciples of all the nations. But you know what's very interesting? That's still the Great Commission for us today. But you can't make disciples of Jesus if you yourself are not one. And everybody is being discipled by something or someone. The big question is, who is discipling you? Is it TikTok? Well, it's on pause for a while. Maybe that'll come back. Sorry. Is it Instagram? Is it the news? Is it your friends? Who is it? Who is it that's discipling you? Are you in a life group? Are you in a team? Are you in relationship with other believers? Or are you just, and are you in the Word? Who's discipling you today? Those are good questions. You know, in the day and age when, I mean, I'm guilty. I spend so much time on my phone getting information, communicating, right? God help me. I don't know about you, but I just think those things are such big time suckers. And the challenge that Jesus gives us there in the text is to be a disciple of Jesus, but also to make disciples. Everybody say it. Be a disciple, make disciples. That's a term that Dr. Morocco coined years and years ago, and my husband's like, we need to bring that back, and so we're bringing that back today. Everybody say it again. Be a disciple and make a disciple. In fact, part of your discipleship is making disciples. Did you know that? Part of your growth as a Christian is it's not just the pastors and the leaders that are doing it. You're to make disciples as well. All right? And so let's talk about what discipleship is, the definition of disciple. That actual word comes from the Greek, and in the verb tense of that, it's to learn. It's to learn. Or if it's the noun, it's the learner, right? It's the one who's learning. It means that you would embrace the philosophy, the practices, the beliefs, and the way of life of the teacher, whoever you're being discipled by. You become a student and you adhere to their way of life. It's an imitating of a way of life. The Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I follow Christ. And in Ephesians 5, he said, be imitators of God. He told the church to be imitators of God. And that's what we're called to do. We're to be imitators of God. And that term is synonymous with the word follower. You're a follower. You're a disciple. That means you're a follower. And who are you following? What are you following, right? Well, what does a disciple of Jesus look like? Okay, I think if you've been in walking with the Lord for any length of time, you're like, duh, we know what that looks like, right? But I'm going to break it down to you today, just a little, hopefully in a little bit deeper, so that you can get a real picture of what a disciple looks like and how to make disciples, amen? And so what does a disciple of Jesus look like? Right there in your notes, first of all, a disciple of Jesus is committed. You're all in. Jesus said in Luke 14:33, he said, so likewise, whoever of you who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And he's not saying that you have to like go live in a cave and not have food and not, he's not saying all that. But what he's saying is you let go of all of your past. You let go of the things that take all of your focus and the God of your life is Jesus. He becomes the Lord of your life and all the other things are second place. He becomes the first place in your life, right? He becomes the first and highest priority, and our devotion to him must be higher than that of even any relationships that we have. I love my husband. I am madly in love with him and will be all the way until Jesus takes us home. But he is not the one that meets every single spiritual or every need that I have. All that comes from Jesus. And I love Jesus more than I love him. And let me just tell you, if you have a spouse or you're looking for one, you better make sure that person loves Jesus more than they love you. Can I get an amen in this place? We must be committed to following him our entire lives. Not just when things are like, yay, amazing. And then we just ditch Jesus. Or actually, I think more what happens is difficulty comes and we run hard after God and press in and then things become amazing and we're so blessed. And then we forget about Jesus. He kind of goes on the side over here when we're not in crisis. Not anybody in here. Not anybody online, right? I know that's not the case. But no matter what comes, we're to be committed to following Jesus. And we're to be salt and light. In Matthew 5 is Jesus is on the Mount of Beatitudes and he's telling the people about being salt and light. We're to influence the people around us, the world around us, no matter where God has us in our lives, whether you're a business owner, a doctor, a homeschool mom, a fisherman, maybe you're a senior, wherever you are, wherever the Lord has you in your life is supposed to be a witness and a testimony of the grace and mercy of God, and you're to live that way and influence people as such, right? The transformative power of God's love and grace in our lives. Wow, that's a tall order. Do you guys live like that? That's a rhetorical question. I'm talking to myself here. There's times when I'm just in my own head and I go to the grocery store and I don't want to talk to anybody and I'm in my own world and I don't know that I actually look like I'm a Christian. Am I reflecting that light? No, I'm like, I know I'm the only one. You guys are amazing. A true disciple is known by his fruit and by doing the will of God. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Okay, you're going to know them by their fruit. And if you skip down to verse 21, this is a very alarming scripture to me. It haunted me for the longest time. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. How many want to do the will of the Father? We want to go into the kingdom. Of heaven, right? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name or cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then he will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Yikes. Being a disciple of Jesus, the good news is that it's a lifelong process. I'm so glad that he doesn't expect us to be perfect right away. There's a process. I'm in process. I am in process. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, well, just kidding, starting in verse 3, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. Skipping down to verse 5, but also for this very reason, we give all diligence to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Now, that's a process, and we're all in some sort of process, right? Everyone say it, discipleship is a process. One more time, it's a process. Amen. We don't have to be perfect right away, but we try. Well, I want to talk to you now about some personal component or some components of personal discipleship. What does that look like for us personally? What do we do to be a disciple? Well, first, it involves knowing. It involves knowledge. We have to know. We have to know his word. His word is the source of all truth. Jesus said that sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. In Colossians 1:9, I love this. It says, this is the Apostle Paul. I love him. I love how he has such a heart and a burden to make people love Jesus and to know Jesus. He loves to disciple people. He says, we continually ask that God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Fill them with the knowledge of his will. We need to know his will. That's part of knowledge. Through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life that's worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Growing. We continually have to grow in the knowledge of God. That's part of discipleship. Colossians 2:3 says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you want knowledge, if you want wisdom, the great news is if you know Jesus, you have access to that. You have access to all the wisdom, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge through Jesus. That is profound. I know you have to like think about that. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. We have to walk and live with the knowledge, remembering that Jesus has set us free and he'll continue to keep us. He'll continue to keep helping us be set free as long as we live for him. And we also have to remember that, you know what? This is not the end all be all here on earth. We are living for another age. He's coming back again and he's coming back soon. We have to live with those things in mind, the knowledge of that. We have to keep that in our mind, in our hearts. And not only knowing, but part of personal discipleship also involves doing. It's faith in action. It's a part of your faith. It's part of your discipleship to do, right? It's a natural doing things, serving, loving on people, preaching the gospel, evangelizing, witnessing, giving, praying. Everything that we do is an outward expression of the love that we have for the Lord because of what he's done for us. It's a natural part of discipleship. How many of you have been set free of some things in here? And because of that, you have a desire to do something for God. That's a natural thing. And the more and more we have a revelation and understand what he's done, that will birth a desire to serve and do something for the Lord, whatever that is. Not only that, but thirdly, being. So there's a knowing, a doing, and a being. The moment that we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of us and begins the work of spiritual transformation. Right there, that's, I think, that first line in your notes there. And we become partakers of his divine character, his divine nature. He leads us and he guides us into truth. He begins the work of shaping our character. He helps us to have a moral warehouse. There were things that I didn't care or didn't think much about before I became a Christian, but afterwards, it was like something took place on the inside of me. I became acutely aware of things that were right and wrong. There was a very clear knowledge of what was right and wrong. And that's a working of the Holy Spirit, right? He makes us to be more like Jesus, and he helps us to live the abundant life that he paid for us to have, as he says in John 10:10. He paid for us to have an abundant life. Discipleship demands intentionality. We have to partner with the Holy Spirit. We have to partner with him. We can choose, you know, I'm grateful for the mercy and grace of God where we can sit and choose not to do anything, but maybe we just come to church every day or every week. And that's all we do in our Christian life, but we don't do anything outside. Like maybe we don't read the Bible or any of that. And I'm so grateful for the mercy of God, because you can actually look back and say, oh, I used to be like this and now I'm not, or whatever. I'm thankful, because it's not all about works. But what it's true is that if you want to grow in God, it requires action on our part. Can I get an amen? We have to deal with our issues. Maybe I'm the only one that's got issues. It's taken a long time to get rid of some of those issues and get healed of those issues, and I don't like it. It's uncomfortable being, having people see all the, I don't mind the good, but the bad and the ugly, character flaws, leadership issues, I mean, I hate that. I don't like people to see that, but that's part of our discipleship, amen? And it demands intentionality to take the proverbial bull by the horns and work out your issues. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We don't passively grow, one theologian said. Our Christian growth does not occur apart from our diligent participation in the process. We do not passively experience Christian growth, but we have to actively pursue it. If you want to grow in the knowledge of the word, you're not going to if you don't jump in and try to do it. Right? You got to participate, all right? Not only that, but discipleship demands relationship. You got to have a relationship with Jesus. I said you can't be a disciple of Jesus if you don't know him. You don't know him, you can't be his disciple. You got to know who he is and everything about him, or learn everything about him. Jesus said, "I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age." We have to learn how to abide in the presence of God, live in the presence of God, being aware that he's not just with us sometimes, but like actually taking time away from whatever we're doing and just closing our eyes and realizing he's on the inside and you can feel his presence, learning how to abide in his presence, right? We're not meant to do it alone. We have to do it with have a relationship with Jesus. But we also have to have a relationship with other people. It's so easy to isolate and just think you can just like want to be discipled like in a cave all by yourself. But discipleship requires other people. You're following. You're in relationship. They're speaking into your life. They see where you need some healing perhaps, right? And telling you, you're amazing. You can do this. You got this. It doesn't always feel great, but when we interact with other people, Bible says that iron sharpens iron, right? We get healed, things get revealed, and God heals us. Amen. And while we are in this lifetime process of discipleship, we're to make disciples. In the middle of all our failures and our flaws and all of our issues, in the middle of all that, part of our discipleship is to make disciples. Did you know that? You're not going to be perfect before you start making disciples. We're to make disciples. We're discipling our kids, those of us who have kids right now. We're discipling the people in our household. We're discipling in some capacity, influencing people at our workplace, in our businesses, at the hospital, wherever it is, you are influencing and you're discipling people. It's fascinating. Well, how do you make a disciple? Jesus has given us authority. He said right there in Matthew 28, he's given us authority, he's given us his word, and he's given us his power. I'm so thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost. In my weakness, he helps me. He helps us. And we're called to engage the people around us. We're to go in the authority that he's given us. We're to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. It's not just a water baptism, which I will talk about in a second, but it's a baptizing of people, a baptism into everything that God is, the life of God. So when you hear baptizing people in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, yes, it's baptism in water. It's very important. But it's a baptizing people into everything that God is. Okay, baptism, water baptism is an outward, it allows people to outwardly express their inward faith. It's an expression of being dead to the past, dead to sin, and alive in God, as you might know. When somebody gets baptized, they say, I'm leaving the world. And now God, I'm becoming a part of God's family. And so many people sometimes think, you know, oh, I just got baptized. It's no big deal. Well, do you know, it's not just a little religious thing that we do. It's actually very important. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not a commandment, but it's a ordinance to get baptized. Baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a saying, I'm leaving the world behind. I'm becoming a part of a community of faith. I think that's in your notes right there, so I don't want to mess up your notes right there. Yes, it's an incorporating them into the community of faith. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm going to live my life in light of being that new creation. It's being brought into the family of God. The church is now my home. Now, if you look at verse 20, not only do we, has he given us authority and power, and we're to baptize people into everything that God is and water, get them water baptized and bring them into the community of faith, but we're to teach them to obey and observe everything that Jesus has commanded them to. Discipleship involves taking personal responsibility for each other. The Apostle Paul took that so seriously. He is my hero. He is my hero. He agonizes over people. When was the last time, and I'm not just speaking to you, I'm talking to myself too. When was the last time that you agonized in prayer, praying that people that you know find Christ, that Christ would be birthed in them, that Christ would work on the inside, that they would have a revelation of the goodness of God? I was praying yesterday in my kitchen and just worshiping, and I was just thinking about this whole message and just like, my God, it's about teaching people the great love that you've experienced, the great freedom, all the amazing things that you've experienced. It's praying and hoping and teaching people that they can have the same thing. That's discipleship. I want to do better at that. I want to do better. It's teaching people how to live holy, how to please God. What makes him happy? What brings you straight to the pit of hell and why? Right? It's teaching them how to live for God. It's teaching them to abide in his presence, like I said a little bit ago. It's how to live in light of the fact that you have been born again and your life is no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. It's helping people to understand that and to love and live for God like you do. I was contemplating all of this and, you know, we're to make disciples. It's an imitating. And Minister Toby, would you come on up to the keys, because I'm going to begin to close here shortly. And I was thinking, what kind of disciple, if people were going to imitate my life as a Christian, what are they imitating in me? What am I reflecting? how am I presenting Jesus in my life to other people? And I just had to repent. I'm like, oh God. If they were imitating my life, if they are imitating your life, listen, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm not talking to people that don't know Jesus. You might be in here and you might not know him like this. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. I'll give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. But I'm talking to Christians who Jesus has called not just pastors and leaders to make disciples, but everybody to make disciples. It's a commandment. It's what we're supposed to be doing. Well, God is speaking to us. Our world has changed from the way things used to be. We live in a global village where you can listen to ministers and pastors and teachers and people that preach, pray, and prophesy. You can listen to them all over the internet. You can watch YouTube. You can access everything, the information age. And that's awesome. There's some positives and some negatives to this. You know, we've gotten a fresh view of the body of Christ. You can see, many streams make glad the city of God. That's one of the reasons we love to bring in guest speakers like this Power Conference, because you get to see the things that God's doing all over the earth, not just here. We don't want to just see our life and through a little straw, right? God's doing amazing things all over the earth, and so that's great. And the gospel's going forth in an unprecedented manner. All over, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is beginning to cover the earth through the internet, through television and different things. But the negatives are that the church can become very impersonal in this information age. You think you can get everything that you need by watching the internet and not have personal discipleship from another person. I'm so thankful for the stream because I've been on it many times. In fact, I watched my husband preach twice in Kentucky this morning and got all fired up. It was powerful. I love it. And I'm so grateful because there are those who sincerely cannot be here. And you can watch from Point Hope and Point and Kotzebue. And I'm so grateful for that. But you can also hide and think that everything you're getting is through that. Not only that, but we become a self-oriented culture. Me, 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 me. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? Oh, I don't like this guy, so I'm just going to turn you off. Boop. But I'm not just talking about online. I'm just talking about in general. And I think that's because we forget. We forget sometimes what God has done. And that heart to serve, that heart to reach out to another person has sometimes been lost. I came into the church in 1995 on Maui, and I was freaking out in the first service because that means I've been saved for 30 years. I think my husband mentioned we're like one of the old guys when we go back to Maui now. The old guys is so weird. Weird. I still don't feel like that, but when I came into the church, I was an unbeliever. I was a little sinner. Imagine that. No, I'm just kidding. I was lost. My husband has told you, I haven't told you my whole story, but I was in a cult. I was looking for God. I was trying. But I was very lost, and I got saved. I had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit, and I gave my life to Jesus. And do you know what that church did? You know what our church did? They loved me. They saw this weird looking girl in the back or wherever I was, not wearing the right clothes, not wearing church clothes, lost as a goose in a hailstorm. And they loved me. They loved me. They brought me in. They didn't judge me like the fourth part of the Trinity. They didn't correct me. Now listen, correction's important. They did correct me. I'm sorry. I received correction where I needed it, but they weren't beating me up like the fourth part of the Trinity. Can I just say that? Listen, when you see people come into this place that don't look like church people, praise the Lord. Can I tell you something? No matter if they look from like they're broken and devastated, or they look like they're, you know, the president and got it all together. Well, I'm not saying I mean, you understand. I'm not saying he's got it all together. But you know what I'm saying? From either side of the spectrum, everybody needs to be connected with every single person, no matter what they look like. And that church loved me. They brought me in. They put me in the Discover track of the day. They got me sent. They had people following up on me. And if we have messed up following up on you, that's not intentional. Can I just put that out there? It's not intentional. We're trying to do our best. And along came this little unassuming, long-haired, red-haired woman named Mindy Lape. My husband tells the story about it, but let me just tell you on my end. Mindy Lape was a life group leader, and I don't know what the Holy Ghost just brought her into my life. She just walked around with her Bible everywhere. Mindy, one day I hope you watch this, because I've lost track of you. She took me under her arm when I didn't know anybody. She would meet me at the door so I'd have somebody to sit with. It's a big church over there. I was terrified. And if you're somebody who's maybe come alone, or maybe you see somebody by themselves, hey, you want to come sit with me? Do it. Do it for God's sake. Help people feel welcome. She took me under her arm. She modeled what it was to be a Christian in her words, in her behavior, the way that she spoke, the way she thought, everything that she did. I didn't have a car. I would hitchhike or call people who didn't have vehicles, who had trucks. And in my church dress, because I lived in Kihei, if you know where that is, and the church is in Kahului, I would hitchhike and ride in the back of nasty trucks outside in the back while their family was all in the front in church clothes, because I wanted to go to church. And Mindy began to bring me to church. She began to give me rides. She'd pick me up. She'd take me to early morning prayer, taught me how to pray. I can't tell you enough about Mindy Lape. She helped me to love God. She got me rooted and established. She discipled me. She took time out of her own self, her life. And I want to tell you people, brothers and sisters who love Jesus, break out of your own self. Now, a lot of us have gone through it. We go through things. We have world. We have stuff going on. We got to get the kids to bed. It's time to eat lunch, whatever it is. But can I tell you? Look for people that need connecting with. I always am looking for the one that's standing alone. I'm not saying anything great about me, but that was me. And I want people to be discipled. I want people to come in and learn what it's like to love God and to not go to hell and love him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. So I'm challenging you today as the church. It's your job to be a disciple. We're not living. We're living for another age. He's commanded us not just to live our own lives and come to church week after week. That's great and it's important, but he has challenged us to make disciples, to be a disciple and to make a disciple. And if your Christian walk is dull, that's the first challenge. If it's dull, if it feels mundane, your relationship with Jesus, if you don't feel like you're moving forward, do something different. Move forward. Move ahead with your own personal discipleship. Get in the word. Get in a Bible study. Join a team at the church to serve, to fulfill one of the functions of the church. And second of all, you need to make disciples. Of course, if you have a family, like I said, your first and foremost is your family. But even in the midst of that, influence and disciple people. Make disciples of the nations. Can I get an amen? Amen. Why don't you stand up all over this place? You know, at the beginning of this service, I said that if you don't know Jesus, it's hard to be a disciple of Jesus. And I want to take a moment. You know, maybe you're in this place and you don't know Jesus like that. So you're like, I don't even know what half this stuff is, but I'm interested. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your life to him for the very first time. Because Jesus died on a cross, God sent his only begotten son, as it says in John 3:16, so that you could have a relationship with God, so you could have a relationship with him, so you can be a disciple. He wants every single person to be a disciple, to live for him. Or maybe you're here and you just are feeling cooled off, or maybe you're not feeling like you're on fire for God like you used to be. And I'm gonna have you raise your hand in a second. And thirdly, maybe you just wanna be sure that one day when Jesus comes back, because he's coming, or if you die one day before that time, that you're gonna go to heaven. See, he died on a cross for our sins so that we could have a relationship with God and we could live forever with him in eternity. And that if we repent and we turn, he'll wash us clean and give us a brand new chance, a brand new life. And so if you fit into any one of those categories, number one, first time commitment to Jesus. Number two, you want to recommit. Or number three, you want to make sure all over this place, if that's you, at the count of three, I want you to raise your hand up nice and high and boldly so I can see it. One, two, three. All over this place. I see those hands back there. I see those hands right there. I see that hand back there. I see that hand. Anybody over here want to give their life to Jesus? I see your hand over there. Awesome. I see your hand over there. Awesome. I want to take a moment. Let's pray together in this place right now. You say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sin. I believe that you died on a cross, Jesus, so that I, and that you rose again so I could have a new life. Excuse me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I repent and I turn from all my ways. I ask you to help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And listen, I want to pray for you today. I just want to pray a general prayer over all of us. If that's you this morning, I'm challenging you to go deeper in your walk with the Lord. I'm calling you to go deeper in your own personal discipleship. And I'm also calling you to make disciples. Make them in the workplace. Make them in the government. Make them in the schools, to influence people for Jesus. And it's hard to do that if you yourself are not on fire for God. You just feel dull. You know, when you go somewhere and you have that awesome ribeye and you want to tell people how awesome that ribeye steak was, but it's hard to tell them if you never ate the ribeye, right? So I want to pray a prayer over us. If that's you this morning, let's just lift our hands today. Lord, I thank you, God, for all that you've done. God, you are so great. And Lord, you've delivered us. You've healed us. God, you've allowed us the great privilege of having access to you by your shed blood, access to the Father. Lord, you've taught us, you're teaching us how to live holy and righteous before you. Lord, how to serve based on love for you. God, and how to just live holy. I thank you that you're working on our character. You're making us more like you. And we pray right now that you would take us deeper. Lord, would you come upon us with a zeal? Would you come upon us with a passion for you, for your word, for the things of God? Would you cause us to long for your presence, not have a mundane walk where just day in, day out, Lord, going to work and then coming home and that's it. But God, help us to be sensitive to your presence. Sensitive, God, that we would move in your power, that we would witness, that we would evangelize. And Lord, I pray right now that you would help us to make disciples, our children, God, our youth, God, the people in our household, Father, the people in our workplace. But God, you would help us to take the next level of discipling other people, whatever that looks like. Lord, through life groups, through teams, out in the marketplace, whatever it is, use us. We commit to you. If that's you, just tell the Lord right now, I'm committing to go deeper in my own personal discipleship and committing to go deeper in making disciples. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.